boundless glory. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I sometimes wonder if in 50 years, when you're thinking back about Father Friday, you'll wonder if I was always preaching on this one image, because it comes up three Fridays a year about how to fast. It comes up three times a year on Friday. It would be the same thing if you were only a chaplain on Saturdays in a play. That's where you always get the call of St. Matthew repeatedly throughout the year, as we will tomorrow. But we take the calendar as it comes. On this first Friday of the Lenten season, the Church wants us to ponder the meaning of fasting. The fundamental Christian attitude is feasting, because the bridegroom is with us. That's why Jesus wasn't fasting after his 40 days in the desert. He wasn't really fasting with his disciples, because, as we see in St. Mark's version of this scene, which we had several weeks ago, they needed new wineskins. And Jesus connects the proper way of fasting to the new set of wineskins to receive the new wine. And he didn't want them fasting just like the Pharisees and the Jews had. He wanted to give a new reason. Fundamental attitude is the joy of the sons of the wedding chamber, all the people in the bridal party, at the wedding feast with the bridegroom. Or even stronger, the joy of a bride on her wedding day. That is not a day she's going to be fasting. But then Jesus gives a reason. On that day in which the bridegroom is ripped away, and it's the same verb that's used in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested, then they will fast. And so the question recurs in Christian history, why do we fast at all if Jesus said before he ascended to the heaven, to the right side of the Father, "I will be with you always until the end of time"? We know that he's with us here, just like he was with the apostles when he said these words, with us in the tabernacle. So why do we fast? Ultimately, because even though he's with us full time until the end, we're not fully with him. So we fast, so that we might bring all parts of ourselves into harmony with him. And not just as individuals, but as the mystical body. We fast together with others for all those areas in which God is not yet subjectively Lord. To fast is to learn how to hunger for what God hungers. And that's why this passage on the first Friday of Lent is always linked to Isaiah 58, when God says, "This is the manner of fasting I wish." Fasting can be a good practice, but it's not an objectively good practice. It all depends what the motivation is. People could be fasting for the wrong reasons. And sometimes those wrong reasons come on in, or at least partially bad motivations. Sometimes when we fast, we can become even more proud. We can become way more self-centered. We can start to think about our bodies a lot. It happens. You know, when somebody wants to do rigorous fasting and comes to ask a spiritual director for it, the few precautions that we're always giving is, can't make you proud, can't prevent your being able to do your work, and shouldn't make you grumpy because you don't have it. We've got to watch out for those types of things because they're higher values. But if we can keep all of these things in check, then it's okay, as long as there's no problem with health and the rest of it, to go boldly. But there's always a temptation when we fast to be thinking not really about God, not really thinking about others, but focusing on ourselves. God here wants to have a fasting that connects us to God and connects us to others, to sharing his hungers and to feeding the hungers of others. So that's why he extends his understanding of fasting to our almsgiving because of our communion with him. He complained that on their fasting, they were fasting on the one hand and sinning. He says, your fast ends in quarreling and fighting, striking with wicked claw. You almost see a bear ripping people apart. Sometimes that's what Christians can do. There would be certain Catholics on the blogosphere who would be fasting hard on Ash Wednesday and then at night writing a critical blog post about the Holy Father or somebody else, constantly spreading their interior toxin in the world in a way far worse than what the coronavirus is doing physically. That's not the fasting that God wants. Our fasting is meant to lead us to true love. So he says, this is the fasting that I wish, releasing those bound unjustly, untying the thongs of the yoke, seeing the sufferings of others and really reaching out, setting the free oppressed, breaking every yoke. That doesn't just mean those in physical bondage, but also spiritual and emotional. Sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless. These aren't just aspirations. These are commands. Clothing the naked when you see them. And I think really important, not turning your back on your own. If we start with turning toward our own, then we much more easily turn toward others. St. Thomas Aquinas picked it up in his commentaries on love your neighbor. And he even was talking about 800 years ago, what still happens today. We can sort of pick up all of these causes for people all the way across the world and be uncharitable to those whom we're closest to physically. When we're growing up, we can do lots of charitable deeds outside of the house, but how charitable are we inside the house? Likewise, how charitable are we inside the convent? If there's anyone to whom God wishes us to be him, it's to those we're assigned to live with. And in some ways, let's be honest, that's the hardest. It's the hardest because you're there with them every day. It's hard in a family. You've got a history of wounds sometimes at home. But Jesus elsewhere says that the one who is going to be greatest, and we always put there because it's a little bit of a bad translation, among you will be the servant of the rest. But the real way the grammar works in Greek is the one of you who will be the greatest will be the one who will be the servant among you of the rest. The greatness always comes from that type of care for the neighbors who are actually our most physically proximate neighbors. That to turn toward, not our back, against our own. And once we start to fast in a way in which our fasting leads us to love them more, that's the way it just starts to mushroom into all other aspects of our life. That's the fasting God wishes. That's the part of us that's not yet in harmony with the bridegroom and the bridegroom's love for our physical neighbors. So the church has us start there. Every Friday of Lent. What's the type of fasting we're going to do? Fasting involves way more than what food we eat and when and how much. Fasting ultimately involves how we become the upset stomach of the mystical body of Christ, exploding in compassion, just like Jesus' viscera for those around us. Praise be Jesus Christ. Yeah.